Elin Illustrated Classics, Robert Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island. Adapted by Jan Fields. Chapter 1. An Old Sea Dog at the Inn. Dr. Livesey and my friends have said I should write my tale of our experiences on Treasure Island, and so I do. The story rightly begins when a tall, ragged seaman first burst through the door of the Admiral Benbow Inn with a great sea chest in tow. A thick, white scar across his cheek gave the man a dangerous look. The man rapped sharply on the floor with a piece of stick he carried like a cane. As soon as my father appeared, the stranger called for a glass of rum. As he waited, he launched into a song he would sing many times during his stay with us.
15 men on a dead man's chest, yo-ho-ho, and a bottle of rum.
Then, just as suddenly, the man fell silent and looked sharply at my father. He asked,
"Much company, mate?"
My father shook his head sadly and answered, "Business has been slow."
"That will suit me just fine."
The man tossed 3 or 4 gold pieces down on the table.
"You just tell me when I've worked through that."
The stranger never told us his name, asking only to be called Captain. Though his clothes were rough and often patched, he acted like a man who knew he would be obeyed, and we never doubted that Captain was a fair title. Soon after his arrival, the captain pulled me aside and offered me a silver coin to keep watch for a one-legged man. For all he tried to cover it up, I could tell the captain was afraid of this man. The captain's fear must have passed to me, for I soon found one-legged men chased me through many nightmares. The captain quickly settled into a routine at the inn. During most of the day, he took long walks along the cove. Many times he stood on the cliffs and peered out at sea with a brass telescope. As evening crept in, he returned to the inn and drank rum with a little water. On some nights, the captain grew restless and burst into fierce tales full of pirates, deadly storms, and walking the plank. My father complained that such gruesome stories drove away guests, but I saw no sign of that. I suspect people enjoyed the adventure the captain brought into our quiet country lives. Other times, the captain launched into rowdy songs that he belted out at the top of his lungs. If other customers dared complain of his stories or songs, the captain stared them down until they slunk away in silence. In all the time he stayed with us, only one man stood up to the captain. That man was Dr. Livesey. My father had long been ill. Within a few months of the captain's stay, father rarely left his bed at all. As he was too ill to travel, Dr. Livesey came often to see what might be done to ease his discomfort. One day, the doctor arrived later than usual and stayed for dinner after tending to my father. I followed the doctor into the parlor and noted how his neat appearance, brightly powdered wig, and pleasant manners contrasted with the rest of the people in the room, especially with our own pirate. The captain looked up blearily from his glass of rum and began singing. Dr. Livesey cast an annoyed look toward the old pirate, then turned to continue a conversation with another of our guests. The captain pounded on the table for silence, as he often did whenever anyone dared speak during one of his songs or stories. The doctor ignored him. The captain glared at Dr. Livesey and pounded his hand again. The doctor ignored him. Finally, the old pirate took a deep breath and bellowed,
"Silence there between decks!"
"Were you addressing me, sir?" the doctor asked. The captain snarled that he was. The doctor merely looked the captain over from head to feet and said,
"I have only one thing to say to you, sir. If you keep drinking rum, it will soon be the end of you."
The captain leaped to his feet and pulled out a sailor's knife. The doctor never flinched.
"If you do not put that away, I shall see that you hang,
the doctor said. The young doctor and the old pirate stared at one another for the long moment. But it was the pirate who dropped his eyes first.